Great content, rich, positive music from the Ashanti Kingdom through the internet at www.spiritfmonline.com to all parts of Africa, Europe, Asia, Antarctica, Middle East, and the Americas. Spirit FM, positive soul music.
The sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times we are living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be going.
Good evening to our listeners. This is Spirit 88.3 FM. I'm Eben. I'll be with you from now till 9 p.m. It's always a joy to be with you. And we thank God for the gift of life. For the last 3 weeks, yes, I think. Yeah, I've been talking about the Israel war and Iran and, you know, the end time issues and all that. So tonight I'll be winding down that particular discussion as we look at the news and finish off with that aspect. You know, there are people, and even, I mean, there are Christians who don't believe that the Israel that we have today as a state, as nation, it's not the same as the one in the Bible. And, you know, it's very interesting. I mean, when, if Egypt is Egypt, Syria, Lebanon, and all these countries, the various Middle Eastern countries are in the Bible, the places in the Bible, we agree, or these people agree that, yes, they are the same. Egypt is Egypt. But when it comes to Israel, that one there... it's sometimes very interesting, you know, but well, I'll be talking a bit about that as well at the latter part. But first, let's look at the news. From Japan to US, earthquake fault lines are awakening. And on Tuesday, Mount Rainier was shaken with over 400 earthquakes. That's in the US. And this is quite significant because there's also a volcanic. It's a volcanic mountain, so the fear is it may erupt and there are communities around. So, well, only time will tell what will happen there. Okay, and over the past 2 weeks, more than 1,300 quakes or earthquakes have shaken another area in Japan. It's quite interesting. For the Japan one, at a point in last week, they feared that as the 5th July or so, a big one was going to happen because someone has given a prediction. I won't say prophecy because the person who said it is not, I mean, Christian. So, I mean, so people canceled their flights and hotels and all that to the cost of almost $4 billion. I mean, that was huge in tourism. Fortunately, it didn't happen. That's how some of these things can go. But, you know, the world is just not... things are happening, earthquakes, volcanoes are erupting, and all that, various places. If you look at you go to usgs.gov, usgs.gov, you can see the number of quakes that today has happened. I mean, what have happened today, you see the numbers per, you can see for the week, for the day, and all that, the above 2.5 magnitude, above 5 magnitude, and you see clearly that earthquakes are happening all the time. Just that if it doesn't affect, like, you know, communities and towns and cities with death tolls and all that, you don't see it in the news. But the numbers are staggering. And if you even do the analysis, you check the graph, you know, it's on the ascendancy. So the Bible was right, or Jesus was right, you know, when he said that there will be earthquakes in the last days as well. So it's happening. Then Massive fleet of Chinese tank boats takes to water as Taiwan launches largest ever war drills. So a fleet of unusual Chinese military vessels, dubbed tank boats. They look like armored cars, but they are on the sea. I mean, the Chinese, these people are something else. Has been spotted near Taiwan, raising concerns amid ongoing tensions in the area or in the region. According to reports, these vessels resemble floating tanks and are part of China's expanding naval capabilities. Yesterday, when I saw it in the news, I said, very, very strange looking, like sea tankers. like armored car type of thing, but it's like a boat. I mean, specially designed. I mean, this one, never seen of that type anywhere, Chinese made. But they are preparing towards attacking or invading Taiwan. And Taiwan too did their largest military drill as a way of defending themselves. So looks like this world peace bad until we are not going to have peace in the near future as we see it. I mean, wars and rumors of wars will keep escalating. Russia, Ukraine, they are just bombing themselves, they are attacking themselves. Taiwan, China is simmering. It doesn't look too good. And, you know, chaos there, chaos here, everywhere, you know, lawlessness. We are seeing a whole lot of things the Bible talks about. You know, this is how you can put it. A lot of the things happening, people will say that, oh, but we've been hearing of wars all through, every time, war. But if you look at the analysis, the numbers according to the UN and all that, the numbers keep increasing over the years, you know. And somewhere last year at a point there were 20 major wars happening, but at the time when the UN gave that report, 20 something, I've forgotten the actual number. I remember I was going to give a talk somewhere and I was doing that research, and at that point in time the leading war, as it were, was just Ukraine Russia one. So you may think that's the only war happening in the world, but there are a whole lot of other wars happening, you know, Burma and all those places. I mean, things are not that quiet there. All right, let's look at some persecution news. You know, the persecution of Christians is on the rise. It's really something now. As for Nigeria's case, it's you know, today I was telling my wife that Nigeria the country is really it's very unfortunate, but you can see that the country is clearly being mismanaged, I mean, across all fronts, you know. And it's very serious how Christians are just being killed in Nigeria as if they are not to be counted. So pastor and congregants gunned down during worship service in Nigeria during an evening worship service on Monday. Suspected Islamic extremists gunned down a Baptist pastor and another worshiper and kidnapped a woman in Katsina State in the northwest Nigeria. About 15 to 20 gunmen with Fulani accents stormed Bege Baptist Church in Yaribori village and shot Reverend Emmanuel Nala Lutauta and Samaelia Gidan Taro, according to news outlet Truth Nigeria. Church member Zakaria Jatao told Christian Daily International Morning Star News that the pastor was leading a worship service and the Bible study when he was shot. Wow. This is what he can explain or like describe as he died in active duty. Died whilst actively doing God's work. You know, Nigeria's case, because the persecution that the northern Nigeria is experiencing and some other parts of Nigeria, it's a major warning to Christians. And the fact that, you know, when you underestimate what you have, I mean, so you see the other side of it, you think, oh, some things are not possible. But Nigeria's case is something that should give us a clear understanding of how some of these things, you know, the persecution that people are facing in some countries. But it's sad when the persecution is happening in developed countries. Unfortunately, it's the same perpetrators in Nigeria that they are the ones also behind the ones in the developed countries. So you have this that says that religious rights group urges European Union to combat anti-Christian hate attacks and murders. There has been 2,444 hate crimes, and that's been perpetrated against Christians in 35 European countries. A religious rights group in Spain is calling on the president of the European Commission to create a special coordinator to combat hate crimes against Christians. The Observatory for Religious Freedom in Spain on Wednesday urged Ursula von der Leyen, president of the European Commission, to create a position equivalent to existing specialists to combat anti-Semitism and Islamophobia in the European Union. Islamophobia. It's imperative that the European Commission act within the same commitment it shows in the fight against other forms of religious hatred, ORLC President Maria Garcia said in a press statement. Anti-Christian attacks are prevalent, she said, as the Observatory on Intolerance and Discrimination Against Christians in Europe, OIDAC Europe, documented 2,444 hate crimes against Christians in 35 countries in its Intolerance and Discrimination Against Christians in Europe report 2024. The report includes 234 personal attacks such as harassment, threats, and physical violence, asserting that anti-Christian hostilities were growing. The OLRC cited recent serious attacks on the religious freedom of Christians in both France and Germany. And for France and Germany, I mean, if you check the reports, the people doing it, the migrants who have moved from Africa and Middle East, they are the ones attacking churches, going to churches, threatening pastors. No, I mean, it's, the story is the same players, the same thing happening there, you know. So this whole thing, you know, it should give people some idea as to, you know, when I was talking about the Iran-Israel discussion, where I mentioned that they also have their eschatology and they also have their beliefs about the end time. Some of these things are reasons why they do what they do, you know. So it's not too strange sometimes when you hear them doing the things they do. All right, then we have this news that says that, okay, Christians face increasingly perilous existence in Syria. Church bombing serves as a brutal reminder. The bombing at Mar Elias Church in Damascus, Syria, last month, that killed over 24 people is an indication that Syria's Islamist-led authorities under President Ahmad al-Sharaa are enabling radicalism that threatens the existence of Syria's Christian community. Experts are warning. The June 22 bombing of the Greek Orthodox Church serves as a brutal reminder of the presence of the radicalized jihadi groups in Syria that seek to eliminate Christians from the country. According to Jeff King, president of the United States-based watchdog group International Christian Concern. You know, so the same ideology, you know, Christians and Jews have to be wiped off the place, the Middle East, they don't need to be there and all that. You know, these extreme views of preparing for the end time in their eschatology is the driving force for some of these things. Remember, for those who remember ISIS and the heat of their attacks in Syria and Iraq, and you know, they were just brutal, killing, burning, all sorts of things. You know, it's the same ideology. The same ideology. Okay, so yep. I think we are almost done. The news. Baylor University in the U.S. It's very unfortunate. Baylor University receives $643,000 grants to foster LGBTQ plus inclusion in churches. And Baylor University was supposed to be a Christian university, but they received this grant from serious. So Baylor University in Waco, Texas has received this grant from the liberal foundation to foster inclusion among LGBTQ identified individuals in the church. The hefty grant to the private Baptist Research University Center for Church and Community Impact, C31, came from the Eula Mai and John Ball Foundation, according to a press release from the school's Dinah R. Garland School of Social Work. The grant's goal is to foster inclusion and belonging in the church, with an emphasis on understanding the disenfranchisement and exclusion of LGBTQIA+ individuals and women within congregations, to nurture institutional courage and foster change, according to the release. The Bell Foundation, which has expressed LGBTQ plus discernment as one of some words, you see, there are some words that if you combine with some things, just doesn't fit. LGBTQ plus discernment as one of its aims, said they prioritized organizations that are openly welcoming and affirming, and organizations that do not discriminate based on race, ethnicity, age, disability, sexual orientation, gender identity, socioeconomic status, veteran status, geography, citizenship status, marital status, religion, or any other discriminatory reason. The grant will focus on the lived experiences of emerging adults, C31 director said, adding it would assist us in filling out the bigger picture of congregations, practices that result in the environment of belonging. The grant will fund researchers to recruit two groups of 25 diverse young adults between ages 18 to 24 for private interviews, focus groups, and questionnaires regarding their experiences within religious communities. The information gathered will help establish a trauma-sensitive training resources to be used in congregations that will emphasize inclusivity and institutional courage, according to the release. C31 plans to test the curriculum at the congregational events and evaluate its impact based on participation rates and feedback on issues such as adopting more inclusive language. The grant was met with some backlash on social media, including from Christian pastors. So a Christian school takes this money to go and do a research into churches regarding their inclusivity and acceptance and belonging of LGBT groups. And sometimes. All right, this headline is interesting. New antisemitism rising among Christians is heresy. Heretics oftentimes cherry-pick the Bible, omitting what is inconvenient and connecting what is not related to advance an agenda foreign to the biblical witness. Today, there is a new group of online influencers who use the Bible to execrate Jews and Judaism, contradicting the teachings of both testaments. Bible church pastor, Joel Webborn is one of the loudest and most malicious of them all. He argues that the New Testament is not concerned with physical Jews, only with those who accept Jesus Christ. He cites Paul's statement in Romans 2 that no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, because circumcision is a matter of the heart by the Spirit. Therefore, Webborn alleges we Christians are to put no stock on the flesh of Jews unless they accept the Jewish Messiah. This means that God has terminated his eternal covenant with the Jewish people and has no concern for them unless they convert to Christianity. But Webern does not stop there. He attacks Jewish character with shocking calumny. In a recent post on X, he announced that those of Jewish descent are generally marked by subversion, deceit, and greed in words that are light years from what Jesus and Paul uttered about the Second Temple Judaism. Webern writes that the Jewish religion is parasitical. We have not heard such anti-Semitic invective since the mass rallies of Nazis in the 1930s. Christians who wonder why so many of the German churches looked the other way when the Jews started to disappear should take notice. Webern's contempt for non-Messianic Jews would shock St. Paul, who is a Jew, who said his fellow Jews who had a zeal without knowledge, as Romans 10:2, were nevertheless beloved by God because of their fathers and patriarchs, Romans 11:28. St. Peter, who is also a Jew, of course, would say that Webern's malevolence is condemned by the Bible, who shows no partiality and repudiates the ethnic defamation. Like every heretic, Webern omits much in the New Testament that is inconvenient for his thesis. For example, just two verses after Paul lauds circumcision of the heart, which is commended explicitly in Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and Jeremiah, he asks, "Then what value has the Jew? What's the value of circumcision?" Much in every way, to begin with, the Jews were entrusted with oracles, with the oracles of God, as Romans 3:1-2. So Webern believes circumcision has no more value before God, but Paul disagrees. And just after Webern's misguided proof test, besides signaling that non-Christian Jews still have something precious, the oracles of God, Paul argues in this same letter to the Roman Church that his kinsmen, according to the flesh, are Israelites and still possess the adoption as God's firstborn son, like Exodus 4:22, and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law, the worship and the promises are still theirs. That's Romans 9:3-4. Again, Webern misrepresents Paul. The Texas preacher claims Paul denigrates Judaism without Christ, but Paul exalts its gifts. Webern despises Jews who have not seen Jesus, but Paul has unceasing anguish for them. That's Romans 9:2. Webern suggests that God hates Jews, no longer counts them as his chosen people, but Paul says that they are present in present tense they are loved by God because of the fathers, that the patriarchs, Romans 11:28, and their calling as God's chosen people is irrevocable, Romans 11:29. Like every heretic, Webern tries so hard to promote his agenda that he has to twist the scriptures in order to do so. And it goes on and on and on. But you see, this is the reality of the hatred that has been, you know, coming up in recent times of the anti-Semitism of so-called Christians who virtually hate Jews to the core. And it's very unfortunate. Even put all things aside, what does the Bible talk about hatred? What does the Bible say about loving our enemies, praying for our enemies, and all these verses? So, in one breath, they make it look as if what they are doing is a godly duty. But, I mean, there's nowhere that we are encouraged to hate our enemies. No, Jesus doesn't say so. So, the hatred for the Jews alone from or by Christians, that alone even is wrong in the first place. So I believe those who have that mindset would renew their minds about this whole thing. Why the hatred? You know, I remember some years back I was telling somebody that you know, those who hate the Jews so much, if they really, really do care that they hate them, they should stop using everything manufactured and invented by the Jews, and they'll see if they can fit into this world. Oh yes, I mean, a whole lot of inventions is the Jews who are behind it. So if you say you hate them so much, then why use something that they have invented? Don't use their technologies. I mean, it's as simple as that. Anyway, I'll get into more details as we wind up on this discussion. I'll be listing 5 points which we are going to use, you know, as: is the state of Israel a fulfillment of biblical prophecy? And that's what I'll be ending with. But before then, let me play this song, one of my favorite songs, God Is In Control.
Is And may the Lord bless you and keep you and give you peace. Enjoy the Sunday afternoon. You're dismissed.
Wasn't that a great sermon?
Yeah, come on, let's go.
No, there's the Johnsons. Let's see how they're doing.
No, let's go.
Why? Are we doing something this afternoon?
I just want to hear a sermon and go home. If we hang around here too long, then somebody might ask us to do something.
Is that so bad?
I don't want to spend all day at church. I came, I listened, I sang. Now, come on, let's go.
Dear, we are part of this body of believers. We should be doing something.
Can't we be a part of the body, but not a functioning part of the body?
You mean like dandruff?
Yeah, no.
Look, I just want to ask John if he found a job yet.
John's out of work?
Yeah, the last 4 months. He told me at the men's breakfast last week.
How's Sarah taking it?
I'm not sure.
Oh, I should talk to her.
I thought we just wanted to go home.
How can you think of bolting out of here when people need to be encouraged?
I didn't.
Sometimes you just don't think.
Me?
Oh, shush.
Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio at lifelinepro.com.
Hey, I hear you won the chance.
You the one. Let's go home now. You rather... Oh, no. Oh, no, but these messages are very loaded and straight to the point. Yeah. You know, the song that I played, Twyla Pari, 1993, very, very old song. You know, God is in control. There is no time for fear. This is a time for faith and determination. Don't lose the vision here. Carried away by the motion. Hold on to all that you hide in your heart. There's one thing that has always been true. It holds the world together. God is in control. We believe that his children will not be forsaken. God is in control. We will choose to remember and never be shaken. There's no power above or beside him. We know God is in control. History marches on. There is a bottom line drawn across the ages. Culture can make its plan. Oh, but the line never changes. No matter how the deception may fly, there is one thing that has always been true. It will be true forever. He has never let you down. Why start to worry now? He is still the Lord of all we see, and he is still the loving Father watching over you and me. What a beautiful song. God is in control. You know, sometimes you may be overwhelmed and think, well, where is God when you need him most? But in the midst of the disappointment, in the midst of the failure, in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the lack and the need and everything, we should never forget that God is still in control. You know, sometimes people go through challenges and situations, and eventually when they are out of it, the pain and everything, they are out of it, they look back and they can have a testimony and say that yes, God indeed was with them in the midst of the storms. You know, whilst you are in the storm, it's a difficult situation, it's difficult and painful and everything. But when you've gone through it and now you look back and you say that, wow, indeed, God was with you. And we can't understand God in situations. There are situations where we just have no explanation. We can't understand him and all that. But we should never give up on God. You know, if God is to explain everything, someone said that if he's to explain everything to us, we'll be clapping for him even in the midst of the storms. Yes, we can't understand him. He sees ahead of us. He knows ahead what is ahead and all that. So because we are short-sighted, we can't see just even the next second, the next minute. We don't know what's there. We can't see. We don't know. He knows tomorrow. He knows next week. So sometimes he knows the sequence of events that, okay, if I allow you to have this and go through this and this and this, what you think is good for you, he knows that if he's allowing it or is to allow it, it will be a problem rather in the next days or whatever ahead. So sometimes to keep us from that situation, we will just have to endure the difficulty and the pain and the storm and the sorrow. But if he's to give you the full picture of what he's doing, you clap for him in the midst of that pain. Oh yes, you can't understand God, and we shouldn't even try to understand him, because it's not possible. He's sovereign. He is in control. So hold on tight and believe in him. Hold on and keep believing. He is in control. All right. I don't know why I felt led to play the song. It's a long time I read lyrics out, but I just felt led to say it. For you know, I mean, God wants someone to be encouraged this evening with these words. I'm just being obedient to what the Spirit is prompting me to do. All right, so let's get to the final part of this edition. So, is the state of Israel a fulfillment of biblical prophecy? This is a question that sometimes some believers ask, and some wonder, is Israel, you know, that's how come you can hear some say that, oh, the Israel in the Bible is not the same Israel we have on the map today. But it's the same Israel. If it's the Egypt is the same Egypt, why can't the Israel be the same Israel? You know, but well, so let's get into some little analysis and we'll be done. So some today like to claim that the modern state of Israel has nothing to do with the biblical prophecy, but is merely a secular political creation. However, nothing can be further from the truth. So the first point, I'm reading, I have 5 points that I'm discussing this evening. So let's consider these five. The first is true. Yes, the modern state of Israel is currently a secular society that does not adhere to its biblical heritage and calling from God. However, this does not revoke God's unconditional and eternal promises of blessing. The land, the descendants, the nation, the kingdom, and the spiritual regeneration. All these covenantal promises, you know, the covenant of God, the covenantal promises are not dependent on Israel's worthiness, but on God's faithfulness and the glory of his name. Let me read Ezekiel 36 verse 22. Ezekiel 36 22. That one says that, therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus says the Lord, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. So God is saying that it's for his name's sake, not even because of them, but he, God. Romans 11, 28-33, I read it earlier as part of the verses. I stated it, but let me read it. Romans 11:28. Alright, so we go with that one. It says that, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. They are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, ye have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them, for God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. So their unbelief is also what gave us the opportunity as Gentiles to be part of the whole thing. So God has not forgotten about them. No, he hasn't. Okay, then the second point is the prophetic scattering among the nations. That's Deuteronomy 4 verse 27 and 28:64. Let me just read Deuteronomy 4 27. Deuteronomy 4 27. Okay, 27. and the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. And then there's also 28:64, Deuteronomy 28:64. So that one is 28:64 says, and the Lord shall scatter thee among all people, from the one of the end of the earth to the even the other end, the other, and there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. So the prophetic scattering among the nations was not fulfilled in the context of either the Babylonian or the Assyrian captivity. It was only literally fulfilled after AD 70, with the destruction of the Jewish temple and the overthrow of Jerusalem, like Luke 21:24. This is Jesus talking. Luke 21:24. Yeah, he says, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. The Jewish people were scattered among the nations of the world for nearly 2,000 years. Subsequently, Israel's prophetic regathering from among the nations more likely finds fulfillment in 1948 with the rebirth of the modern state of Israel. Then the third point, God scattered Israel among the nations in judgment for its disobedience. Deuteronomy 30, the whole chapter, if you can read. Therefore, only God can regather Israel in his grace. In Ezekiel 36:19-24. So 19 says, and I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries according to their way, and according to their doings I charged them. And then 24 says, for I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. So this happened 1948, when Israel became a new nation. A rebirth, the rebirth of Israel as a nation happened. So man cannot override God's decisions and program. Once God regathers and replants Israel in the land, it will not be uprooted again. Amos 9:15. So we go to Amos 9:15. 9:15 that says that, and I will plant them upon their land, underline their land, not the Palestinians' land, and I God I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled out of their land which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. Interesting. So once God regathers and replants Israel in the land, it will not be uprooted again. Israel is now regarded as a nation. Only God could have done it. He alone scattered Israel. He alone regathers Israel. He alone will preserve Israel and fulfill his promises and plans. You know, I remember someone said once that Israel is the only country in the world that has the title deed to their land in the Bible. So, I mean, this is what sometimes Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, does at the UN. He reads from the Bible. I mean, and like, the world goes crazy. I mean, the world leaders, the anti-Israel, I mean, you realize they just can't contain it. It's like, I mean, you come and read the Bible and say that God give the land to us. Give it to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and he promises, his promises are abiding forever, and they just can't take it. Like, we are in modern world, 20 something, 21st century, and you are still reading from the Bible that the Lord gave the land to you. Yes, the Lord gave the land to them, and they have a title deed to it based on the word of God. If you don't understand, well, I mean, they say it, but he just says it boldly as it is, and that's it. I mean, they believe that is it. God gave the land to them, and they are standing by it, and they are defending it. So Israel is regarded as a nation. Only God could have done it. All right, so the fourth point, the prophetic process is clearly outlined. Israel first will be regarded physically and then renewed spiritually. That's the Deuteronomy 30 verse 1 to 10. And then Ezekiel 36, 22 to 28. And then 37, 1 to 11. Because of time, you can. So let me state it again. Deuteronomy 30, 1 to 10. Ezekiel 36, 22 to 28. And then 37, Ezekiel 37, 11 to 14. So, therefore, although Israel is yet to recognize Jesus as the Messiah and be nationally renewed in hearts, that's Jeremiah 31 verse 33, its physical restoration is the first step necessary in the prophetic process. So yes, they will have to be a nation first, regarded nation, before now they will come back to God. Number five, the last. God's promises to Israel are national in nature. Every individual is still required to have faith in Christ for salvation. Therefore, not every citizen or generation of Israel automatically inherits these national promises. However, God promises a remnant of faith will always remain. Romans 11, 5. And it will be a future remnant of Israel that will, by faith in Christ, inherit the national kingdom promises as God's holy nation. That's Romans 11, 25 to 29. Therefore, despite modern Israel being in unbelief, a remnant of faith remains, and a remnant is destined to be redeemed. So, is Israel today a fulfillment of biblical prophecy? Yes, Israel is a prophetic miracle, proving again God's faithfulness despite Israel's and humanity's unfaithfulness. And what God has begun, he will carry to completion. You know, for Israel, for instance, for those who may not know, they have during the, maybe this year because of the war, because, but in previous years, during the Pride Month, the June gay pride and LGBT whatever pride stuff, they have some of the largest rallies in Tel Aviv. The LGBT, they have a very large community there in Israel, you know. So when you look at these things, it's, I mean, it's, but that's it. They are anti-God now, not the whole country, of course, but it's purely a lawless place. They don't have regard. The Jews are there, the proper Torah believing Jews are there. I mean, the Judaism, those who believe it strictly are there. But then the secularism, the liberal, godless youth, and they are also there plenty, and they do their pride and gay stuff and all. So that's it. But then it doesn't mean that that nation is still not there. Hasn't got the hand of God on them. At the right time, things will fall in line. And see, when it comes to Israel, I've heard some pastors say that, oh, they're of no use when it comes to the end time and all that. I mean, well, everybody's free to say whatever, but the fact that Jesus talks about them, you can't say that they are of no use. No. I mean, so that is, Israel has a role to play. And let me read this verse again. Perhaps, I mean, for those who may not have listened to the time when I mentioned it earlier, Jesus says that, okay, yeah, he was in Matthew chapter, is it 5, I think? Okay, I think a minute. Matthew. Matthew 5, yes, 35. Not swear by, I mean, it talks of not swearing, Matthew. So let me start from 34. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne. 35. Nor by the earth, for it is his footstool. Neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Capital K. Do not swear by Jerusalem, because it's the city of the great king. He, Jesus, it is his city. And this is a prophetic saying. He was not a king then. I mean, at the time he was saying this, and he went, he left back to heaven. He will come back. But the millennial rule of Christ is Jerusalem that he would operate from. So when he says it's the city of the great king, he is speaking prophetically ahead of time. And this Jerusalem that Jesus is talking about is the same physical Jerusalem we know today. That will be that Jerusalem that the millennial rule he would operate from and rule from. So Jerusalem and Israel as it is God's chosen land. God's own chosen land. Aside even the people, it is he, God, who has chosen this land. Irrespective of the people's behavior and life and whatever, he said, I have chosen the land. So we should understand some of these things as Christians well, so that, you see, you can be caught in the euphoria, you can be caught in the whatever, the emotional move when the media is, you know, bashing Israel and CNN and co are doing their anti-Semitic games and all that. But as Christians, we should be mindful of these things, lest you open your mouth and say things which, I mean, are clearly anti-God eventually. Yes, because if there are instructions in the Bible, for instance, that we should pray for the peace of Jerusalem, these are instructions, we should pray for them, and you will not even pray for them, then please don't say anything against them. But you not pray for them, and you also attack them, and you hate them. No, that is not godly. As a Christian, we cannot do that. After all, we shouldn't hate anyone. So Christians, we have no rule to say that we, the disciples, they are hate them. No. That's not our place, and so we should avoid that. And I believe, yeah, so a summary of it, these are the some of the things that let's understand about this whole Middle East things. The geopolitics is there, that one, yes, is played at the normal, the UN level and at the national level, the geopolitics, the media and all. But the spiritual side of it, let's understand it from that angle. I've discussed the Iranian side, their biblical beliefs, their eschatological beliefs in their writings, in the hadiths and all that. The Shiites have a belief in the end time. They also have their end time beliefs that the Mahdi will come. And before the Mahdi comes, they have to exterminate the Israelites and all that, clear them from the place and all. So that's what's caused, that is the whole rift between the Iranians and the Israelites. Their hatred for the Jews or the Israelites is based purely on spiritual rules, that their beliefs, what they are doing. And they see it as their mandate that they have to do it, because they believe the Mahdi or the 12 Imam, as other name is coming, and he will come with Jesus. I mean, our Jesus. That's what they believe. He's coming together with him. You know, but you know, as I said, that's not the case. You know, if you actually look at the Mahdi, the characteristics similar to the Antichrist and all that. So we are in very interesting times. When you don't understand some of these things from the spiritual angle, yes, you can easily be swayed by the political side, but or the geopolitics. But when you understand that they are Christian, it's a purely spiritual thing. Ishmael versus Isaac at stake, then you know that it's not a matter of geopolitics, but it's a pure Ishmael versus Isaac issue that is going on in that Middle East place. All right, so thank you for tuning in, I had this message. I forgot. I had it in mind, but I forgot. Someone sent a message. Yeah, it says, this week at the UN votes, the LGBTQ plus Ghana abstained. Yeah, and that issue, I think, God, next week I'll have to address it. And, you know, it's one of some of the things sometimes when decisions are made at the UN level, you just can't understand. But God, next week I'll be talking about it. The explanation given doesn't women like and to assume papa. So we'll talk about it, God, next week. So thanks for tuning in, and I believe we would be back next week. This is upload last week's edition. There was a little technical hitch, so the recording I have to do some addition editing a bit before I can get it up again. So that's why last week's edition is not uploaded. I'll try and do so. There are some minutes that will be missed out of that, but I'll upload both that and this week's edition to spiritissues.info. All right, so thank you for tuning in. Good night and God bless you.